We're on a series now where we're talking about hearing God. And what I would like you to consider and think about is that whenever Bill and I, we've put this together, we're viewing it like a bit of a course, okay? Now, it's not that you got a certificate or anything at the end, but we've tried to look at the whole sweep of it. So each night, although each night will stand alone to some degree, there is a bit of continuity with it, and we want to encourage you to come along to everything. The reason I'm saying that as well is because there's going to be some nights that are quite teachy and then some nights are quite practical. And as I say, just because you miss one Sunday doesn't mean you can't come the next Sunday, so don't not come. But we would encourage you to come as often as you can, but then as well to realize that the whole thing, I'll explain this in a minute, but it's all as a package, okay? So it's all flowing as one thing. So we're trying to cover a lot of ground over 8 series of teaching. And so we're building up to it. So even as I talk tonight, we're building up to some other stuff that we're going to get to. So try to bear that in mind. I see some of you trying to read my writing. I'll explain to you where we're going with that. So last week, Bill started us off, and I just want to give you, I like to know where the whole sweep is of what we're trying to do, okay? So his name's only Bill. Bill spoke about God is speaking. And how God does want to communicate with us as part of his nature and who he is. God is speaking to us, and that's a challenge then, and it's to us, not just to the person beside you, but God wants to speak to you and to me. Tonight we're going to have a look at Kairos moments. I'll explain that in a moment, and trying to hear what God is saying in different seasons, and even trying to identify what is God saying to us in this season, at this moment in time. Then we'll be looking at hearing God in Scripture, and we'll be spending 2 weeks giving a bit of teaching on how to understand God's Word, how to get into God's Word. We'll be using the way acrostic SOAP, which is Scripture, Observe, Apply, Pray It Through. We'll be getting you to do that on one of the nights, and some of you to maybe feedback on what you feel God's saying. We'll be explaining the difference between the Logos and the Rhema Word whenever we're reading God's Word and trying to understand a little bit of that. And so some of that will be very practical. By then we'll be down in the lounge, and we'll be able to break off into the other wee room and stuff. So it'll be very different as we kind of move, but we want it to be a bit of a learning environment. Hopefully that doesn't frighten you. But again, as we've said, nobody will be asked to say something or to do something that you don't want to say or do, okay? So please don't let that be a discouragement. Let it be an encouragement that you're not just here to hear what we're saying, but you're going to try and move forward in some of these things. Then we're going to spend a week looking at, I mean, we could really spend many weeks talking about the next one, but how God speaks and having a look at the different ways that we can hear God speaking into our lives. Then we'll be looking at developing a prophetic culture. And then 7 and 8, the last 2 weeks, we'll be looking at the prophetic and how, and really we'll be trying to involve all of the revelatory gifts and how we see that released within our lives and some of the framework that the Bible gives us to understand the prophetic within our lives. Okay, so that's fair enough. That's where we're going. That's the direction we're heading. Last week we learned, and so this week we're on Kairos moments. Last week we learned that God is a speaking God, that God communicates and he wants to speak to us. He's not silent. And I believe that God is speaking more than we're listening. Okay, that is a belief that I have. You can agree or disagree with me, but I believe that God is speaking more than we are listening. Now, again, what Bill said last week, absolutely. Do you know, we're not advocating this. Well, God's telling me to go to McDonald's after church tonight, or God's telling me to, you know, not eat toast tonight, but to have a fish supper. Okay, because sometimes we can get into that, and every wee conscious thought that we have, we're thinking God's saying it. All right, so we're not saying that, but what I am saying is that God is speaking more than we're listening, and we'll unpack that a little bit as we continue to go. And that brings me to a couple of scriptures. Matthew 11:15, it says this, so if you're taking notes, please write that down. Matthew 11:15, whoever has ears, let him hear. Now, you ever find that a little bit strange? Because hands up if you've got ears. Okay, right? But it's saying, and Jesus is speaking there, and he's saying something very profound, because how many of us know that just because you've got ears and the ability to hear doesn't mean you're hearing? Anybody that's ever had kids? Anybody that's ever had a husband? Okay. okay. You know that that's true. More on that in a moment. Revelation 2:29 says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So we need to learn to hear. Now, I have been blessed, and I think it's a blessing, with selective hearing. My wife doesn't think it's such a blessing, but I have the ability to sit and watch TV, and the world could be crashing around me, and I just would not be aware of it. Is there anybody else can identify with me? Yeah, thanks for your honesty, the couple of you. Okay, it's even good to see a few female hands up there as well. So we have this ability to have selective hearing, to really be able to zone in and to listen to the thing that you want to listen to. And I would like us just to do something for a moment, okay? What I would like us to do, I'll tell you what we're going to do, and then I'll get you to do it. I want us just for a moment, and I'm aware that we're kind of out in the countryside here, so there's not going to be loads of city noise that we're going to hear. But I want you to purposefully listen. Now, I don't mean to God or to anything else. Just as an absolutely normal practical exercise, I want you to close your eyes and just be aware of the noises that are in the room. Pick up on a few things that you just haven't picked up on yet. And just listen, okay? Just do that for a moment. Okay. Did you hear anything that you weren't hearing before? Okay, give me a few examples. Me breathing. Okay. Anything else? Pardon, the fan?
Yeah.
The projector? You weren't aware of that? Anything else? Person beside you breathing? Snorting? You know? I hate all that. Right. Anything else? What was that? Somebody snoring? Okay, but it's probably hard in here because we don't have loads of external noise. But if you did that as an exercise someday and you just sit and listen, it's amazing the things that you can hear whenever you sort of close other things out and you purposefully listen. And so part of, I believe, hearing God is learning to listen for God, is learning to try to shut other things out at times and hear what he might be saying to us, to give him that attention. It seems strange to say, but we do need to learn to hear. We need to learn to attune our ears and our hearts towards the things that God would be wanting to say to us. See, I'm convinced that people hear God more than they think. And that actually God is speaking to them and they're hearing, but they're just not recognizing that it's God. And so we want to learn to do that more and more. Anybody ever remember the old TVs or the old radios? Nowadays it's preset buttons and you just hit them. But do you ever remember you had to just... And you used to get it. And not that I'm saying that we need to do that on the dial of our lives. And you take what I'm saying as a bit of an overall general illustration. But there is an element where we need to learn to hear God's voice. Bill quoted it many times last week. As his sheep, we learn to hear his voice. We know his voice. And so that's what we want to do as much as possible. Next week, we're going to look at how we hear God's voice through Scripture, okay? And we're going to explain that and go through that. But basically, every time, now this doesn't negate you coming for the next 2 weeks, right? But basically, anytime you read that, you've heard God, okay? We need to know that. This is the breathed out words of God that we're told by Paul as he writes to Timothy, that they are literally breathed out by God. So as we read the Scriptures, we have an opportunity. Not just an opportunity, we hear God as we read these Scriptures. But the reason I want to do this Kairos moment first is because I want us to get into our minds that it's not just about hearing. Hearing's only one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is doing. Okay, so it's not just that we learn to hear God, but we learn to actually do what he is asking us to do. There's a massive importance on response. In John 13, 17, I bang on about this all the time, but it's because it's one of my life verses, and I have to continually remind myself of this, that Jesus said to the disciples, "Blessed are you now that you know these things, if you do them." So it's not just knowing stuff, it's doing it. Now, carried within the whole Hebrew mindset of knowledge is this idea of doing. So in the Hebrew mindset, you didn't just know something in your mind. Knowing it meant that you did it. Okay, and there was never this separation between knowledge and action. But that came with the Greek world and the Greek mindset and all of the things that they do. And we carry on more from a Greek mindset than a Hebrew mindset in our culture today. So we have this idea that we can know things, but we don't necessarily follow it on through and do something with it. Whereas whenever Jesus is speaking and the culture that he is in, it's this idea that whenever you know it, you do it as well. Knowledge is about intimacy with something. It's about experience of something and growing with it and doing that which we've heard, okay? So what I want to introduce to us today is a tool that will hopefully help us hear what God is saying to us. And I want us to think about tonight, us, okay? What is God saying to us in this season, in this moment? And then what we want to follow through, what is he saying? How do we follow that through? What's the action that needs to come into that? And then we'll develop other ways. So this tool is called the circle. He's still with me? I know it's warm in here, okay, but this is called the circle. And it's nothing spooky or it's nothing, it's just out there. It's been used in wider sort of discipleship terms, but I'm kind of stealing it a little bit and bringing it in to what we're talking about. Here's the thing for a lot of us, so bear with me. Can everybody see this okay? Yeah. So what a lot of us do, especially, and I've been a Pentecostal all my life, okay? So I was born into a Pentecostal church. Dad was a Pentecostal pastor. I'm in it. I love it. I'm sold out, okay? But one of our things is that we're not great reflectors, okay? We're really good at just moving forward and just powering on through things. We're not really good at times, and it's a massive generalization. You could argue with me at the end, go, I'm good at that, and I'll go, okay, well. But sometimes what we can be guilty of is not just pausing in moments and trying to hear what God is saying in the midst of that. Let me explain that. Discipleship often is viewed as a straight line, okay? So it goes like this. So we get saved over here. Heaven's over here. And sometimes it's a race to get to here. Not that we want to get there really quickly, but it's kind of keep your head down. You know, hold the fort till he comes. Let's just fire on through to the end. And let's try not to get too scaved on the way through. But if that's kind of the way we're viewing it, we're missing a massive part of what God wants to do within our lives. One of the reasons that God didn't just take us whenever he saved us, of course, it's evangelism, it's to reach people, but it's also that he's stuff to do in our lives while we're still here. And he wants us to kind of pause at times. And in these moments, okay, so what I'm going to introduce you to, very hard to draw a circle. That's not bad. That's actually not bad at all. Okay, right, so I want us to think about our discipleship journey being a bit more like this, that there are moments that we come across, and I'm going to give us the tools down here to consider that then we move on stronger and having heard what God is saying and moved into action. So a key verse in understanding what I'm trying to talk about today is Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And there Jesus says, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." So let me unpack that a little bit. Whenever Jesus says, "The time has come," well, we know that there's different words in Greek. I'm sure you know that. There's different words in Greek for time, two of which that I'll point out to you. So one is the word chronos, okay, which we get our English word chronology from, okay? So the idea, in fact, you have some watches called chronos and things like that. It's this idea of chronology. So it's time as we mainly understand it, okay? And just it moves just the sequential moving of time, all right? That's chronology, the chronology of events, that kind of idea. That's not the word that Jesus is using. Jesus isn't talking about the time in terms of whatever date it is today. Let me have a look. The 16th of October. I'm as bad as you, Bill. I don't know where we are. The 16th of October, 2016. Whenever Jesus is saying that, he's not talking about the date, the specific time, the chronos time, the chronology time. He's speaking about a season. Now, we probably as Christians understand that language quite well. We talk about seasons and moments within our lives. And the word that Jesus uses there is kairos, okay? So it's this word here, K-A-I-R-O-S. Kairos, kairos moments. In fact, we're probably saying moments, okay? Because that kairos is that word for moments or time or seasons. And this idea of kairos moments, what is God saying in a season, in this particular season, this season, in the wider discipleship context, we talk about events and things that happen within your life, you know, in different seasons that come, and they can be positive or negative. But I also believe that God has seasons of speaking to us and speaking certain things into our lives where he wants us to grasp something. And so it's on that I'm zooming in at this moment in time. And so I have a couple of questions in for us tonight that I'd like us to think about. What is God saying to me in this season? In this season of my life, of course, we're not talking about autumn. We're not talking about the 16th of October. But in this season of my life, we're all in different moments. We're all in different kairos periods of time. But what is God saying to you at this moment in time? And I really would like us to consider that. I'm going to unpack that a bit more as we go. But what has the theme been of this season? What keeps coming up as you're praying, as you're reading your Bible, as you're sitting in church, as you're pondering the things of God? What keeps coming back to your mind? What am I noticing? What am I feeling? What am I feeling challenged about? What do I keep reading in Scripture? And it just keeps, you know, sometimes you have these seasons where a word just keeps coming. What is the season that God is, what is God saying in this season? What might God be saying to you in this kairos moment, in this season? Does that make sense? Okay, so that's the question that we're asking. Then he goes on to say, so he talks about this time has come, this kairos time, and there are kairos moments for you and for me. And then he goes on to say, the kingdom of God is near. So in these kairos moments, these seasons that God is speaking to us, we can be encouraged because he wants to release something of his kingdom over our lives. All right, so that's what's happening with this gospel call. The time has come, this kairos moment, where God is revealing the gospel. So that's its particular context here, that the gospel is being revealed. And whenever we repent and believe, then the kingdom of God is released on our lives. And we're released into the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Okay, so the kingdom of God is near. So Jesus tells us what the keys to the kingdom are. So we can take that happened first of all in our salvation experience. There was a season of conviction, a season of God speaking into our lives. And whenever we eventually responded to that through repentance and belief, then the kingdom of God was released. But that doesn't change then. That carries on within our lives. Whenever God is speaking something into our lives, then we need that same response to see the kingdom of God come, and us to be released into those things that God wants to release into and over our lives. So the keys of the kingdom then are repent and believe. And so if you allow me just to continue the diagram, let me just write it that way. Repent and believe. Okay, so we know that the process then that God calls us towards is repentance and belief. Repent means to change one's heart. A guy called Mike Breen, who writes a book called Developing a Discipleship Culture, who really is the mastermind behind some of this stuff and very well respected in church circles, but he says this. He says, repentance simply means a change of heart that shows up in a behavior or lifestyle change. So it's a change of heart that shows up in a behavior or lifestyle change. So it's here we're coming to hearing something from God. So whenever we narrow this down into hearing God, we hear something from God. And repentance sounds like a really strong word, but whenever God's speaking to us, it's because he's wanting us to change our mind about something. He's wanting us to realize something, to catch something, to get something, to change our minds that'll bring out an idea of change within our lifestyle, our walk with him. Revelation of his love that brings out then a change of mind in terms of how we're relating to him and the others and all of that sort of stuff. So it's not always repent because you're being this and you're doing that. But sometimes it's repent into the positive as well. Does that make sense? So it's to bring a turnaround and a change within our lives. Repent and believe. Believe is about faith, and belief is to be substantial. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance. It's the substance. So faith isn't just a wee thing that we do in our heads. It's something that's substantial, and so it's something that we do. To repent and to believe has to have action and change. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So as we've said, it's not just about a head knowledge, but a head knowledge that puts us into action. So let's see how this works. You all still with me? Okay, so how this works then is repent. Now, if you imagine this is a bit of a wheel and it's got three spokes, okay? And there's a bit of a process that we get to walk through here. So the first thing that we can do, and I just want to help you in this season, okay? What is God saying to me in this season? Well, what you want to do is, first of all, observe. Observe. So when I was reading about this, people were saying, actually, people who are introverts find this first bit easier. Okay, so those of us like me, I'm an extrovert. I actually learn by doing. I'm a pragmatist activist. So I don't find reflection overly easy. So I'm in my uncomfortable zone over here, trying to reflect and think about and observe all the stuff that's going on. But it's good to hit the pause button, and it's good to observe. What is God saying? So what I mean, listen, watch, record, highlight. Like I said earlier, what are the themes that are keeping coming up as you're walking with God? What's the stuff that you feel like God might be saying to you? All right, now, of course, there's going to be checks and balances to this, okay? But what are the things that you just can't get away from? Whenever you're coming into church and you're in worship, you keep hearing the theme through people's preaching, through different things. What is the theme? Observe these different things. It's helpful to keep a journal, for example, and you can write these things down. And you can say, just keep this recurring theme. People often say to me, do you know, I was really good this morning because all week I've just been thinking about this, that, and the other, and this scripture came to me, and this came to me, and, you know, I was podcasting, and they were saying, and it turned up, and you were preaching on it. Okay, that's the season God is speaking. And what is he saying? Okay, so it's not just, oh, great, God's speaking to me. Okay, we want to observe, and then we want to reflect. So what we want to try to do in reflection, what we want to try and do in reflection is tie it down. Not just have all these random thoughts, but tie it down. As we reflect, what do we think God is saying in this? So as we observe it, as we have all of these things out here, then we want to just bring it in a little bit. What do we think God is saying? Let's tie it down. Let's pinpoint it. God, what are you saying to me? Right, let's keep it on us. What are you saying to me at this moment in time? Because I don't know about you, sometimes I'm better at hearing God for other people. but I need to learn to hear what God's saying for me too. Okay, so for me. And then the final one that, again, some people won't overly be find natural, but it's important, is to discuss. We don't hear God in a vacuum. Okay, we don't believe in and we'll be constantly talking about this, but we don't believe in the maverick prophet. Okay, we don't believe in the prophet that just wants to be away out in the cold, come in, give you this wonder word from God, and go away again. We believe all of that should be done in community, in fellowship, in connection. And so it's one of the reasons we have certain things put into place even within the church that if a visitor was here, you know, we wouldn't probably allow them to prophesy straight away. We would want to see that there was an element of their life that was measuring up and that what they were saying was right. And there's just measures there that you want to take in place because it's important that we do this Christian thing in community. That's how God's designed it. And we want to do it in community. So we get a few friends that we're able to discuss this stuff with. I think God might be saying this. And you need good friends around you that are going to actually go, I'm not sure God would say that, or no, that sounds good. that sounds like God might be saying that to you. Actually, God's saying something similar to me or whatever else. And it's really important that we have a couple of people around us that we can just honestly sit down and go, can you help me out with this? Here's what I think God might be saying. So we've got to observe, reflect, and discuss. And this is part of the process of our repentance, of our starting to change our mind, to listen to what God is saying, to process that through, and to get an agreement with others. This is what we feel God is saying. And then as we come into belief, well, as it happens, we've got three spokes for this too. It's always good to have three. Okay, so our three spokes. And this is where probably some of us are good at this, to get into here. Oh yeah, God's saying this to me at the minute. All right, some of us aren't. Some of us are still up here. But some of us can go, oh yeah, I know what God's saying. But we need to take it further. Repent and believe. So the first one then is to plan. I'm going to write these out, so if you're taking notes, you can be ahead of me. Plan, account, and act. Okay, so plan, account, and act. So, okay, I've got to a point where I've heard from God. What am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? So, I'll give you some examples in a moment, okay? But what am I going to do? How am I going to change? God, if you're saying this to me, what change are you looking about in my life, and how am I going to do that? I'm actually quite good at this part. So I am. I don't know about you. So I love planning for things. So I'm good at getting to here. Plan, okay? God, what are you saying, and how do we follow that through? Then account. And again, this follows on to here, this discussion part. It's really good to have people in our lives that we can be accountable to, that we can talk to, that we can say, so here's my plan, here's what I feel God's saying to me, and here's what I'm going to do about it, and I want to be accountable to you. So I had a really good friend, pastor, who's been a pastor for a lot longer than I have, but we're friends, and he was chatting to me, and he just says, I really feel like God's at this moment calling me. It was really interesting, and some of the guys close to us in the church will know that what God's been speaking to us, and you'll hear it coming out in some of the sermons. In a while, we were talking about holiness, and a sense that we felt God was calling us towards holiness, and not that we were right away doing loads of other stuff, but just a real sense of, you know, to be set apart. And this other minister said to me, you know, we were having coffee, and he just said, I really feel like God's calling me towards, he says, now, I need to tell you, I'm not doing anything that I shouldn't be doing, but I just really feel like there's stuff that's going to be ahead for us and for the church that we just need to be holy and we need to be set apart. So I'm going to be getting up at 6 every morning and praying, and you can phone me. I said, I'll be phoning you about 6:30. you know, but just this kind of accountability, and this is what I'm going to do. Now, we did talk about it, and I said, maybe it's for a season. Do you know, you need to pace yourself. You can't, but whatever God's saying to you, that's great. And we talked about that, and I was able to ask him then a wee while ago, well, how are you getting on with that? He says, no, I'm really pushing through, because I sense that. And it was just brilliant to be able to do that. So we account, and we say, this is what I'm going to do. And we hold ourselves to account. I had a guy recently, I'll just say it because you'll not be able to tie who it was. It's nobody in the church, but a guy who I'd been in conversation with a couple of days previously, and I suppose I was a bit amazed at some of the conversation him and a few of the guys around him, Christian fellas, were having, and I talked to them about some of the stuff we talked about in temptation, about your mind and keeping your mind pure and walking with God and stuff like that, and a couple of days later he actually came to me and he says, I want to give you permission. I want to be accountable to you. I want to give you permission at any stage to give me a ring and ask me how my thought life is, because God's really spoke to me. And so that accountability thing's really important as we're going to grow. And so it's really good to account ourselves, to have a plan, and to say, here's what I'm going to do. And then it's all nonsense unless you act, isn't it? Unless you actually do something about it. So we kind of get on with it and we say, right, here we go. We're going to do this. We're going to step in. So let me give you a few examples of how this might look, okay? So what is God saying to some of us this season? Well, it might be something like a real challenge and a burden for your neighbors, okay, that you want to evangelize and reach out to your neighbors. So what might that look like? Well, you might have observed that, and you're thinking, right, they're doing reach events in church. This is not me trying to plug anything, by the way. I'm just trying to go through the process, okay? But you might sort of think, well, I've really sensed, like every time I'm praying in the house, I'm praying for my neighbors, I'm praying that God would save them. I'm noticing things that just feel like call and that challenge. And you might observe that and reflect on that to eventually come to the point where you say, yeah, God, I think that you're calling me to try and reach my neighbors. So then you could discuss that with some friends and go, how do you think we could do this? How could I impact my neighbors? What difference could I make? How can I get on the ball with this and really follow what God is saying to me in this season about that? So you could create a plan and you could decide, well, to be really intentional about talking to them. If you're a mum, for example, you might say, well, I'm going to be really intentional about getting a wee bit earlier to the school gate and trying to have a wee chat to the ones that we mix with, have a bit of, and try and build a bit of a connection, a bit of a relationship with them. You might think, well, do you know, I'll do a coffee morning. Might even be for something totally random and outside of church, but I might do a coffee morning and just get them into the house and build relationship again, try to build connection, sort of do all of that. The plan might be then to eventually offer to do an alpha course or something like that within your house. Okay, now you're all getting scared going, what? Okay, I'm just giving you an example, okay, of how you might plan. So you put that plan out, you talk to a few people, and some of them might go, well, just hang fire in the alpha course, but some of that other stuff's brilliant. Okay, let's be accountable to that. Let's pray that God will really use you in those things. You count to that, and then purposefully and intentionally, you follow what you've observed and reflected God is saying, and you start to act on some of those things that you're going to do. That's really simple, but can you imagine the change that that would bring if you intentionally heard what God was saying and did what God was putting on your heart to do? Does that make sense? Let me give you another example. It's one that, pardon me, whenever I'm spending time with people on their own in a discipleship context, a lot of people struggle to find a regular time with God. Some people have it totally nailed. Some people really struggle. And so some people really feel, well, in this season, I feel that God's just telling me I need to get regular rhythms and times with him. And so we can observe that. God's wanting you to spend more time with him. We make sure that it's not out of guilt or condemnation, but we can reflect on that, discuss it together and go, okay, what is the best times that suits you? We're moving on into the plan. Do you know, when does it work? When's best? Do you have to go to bed a little bit earlier so you can get up a bit earlier? What's the plan that you can do? Do you have a reading plan? And you can plan. I know this is like teaching granny to suck eggs a wee bit, isn't it? But I'm just trying to explain to you how that flows through. You plan, you count, and then you act. You get the job done. You go for it. It might be things like giving up an addiction. So where you know that something's just got a hold of your life. It might be an addictive thought pattern. It might be an addiction that you're actually doing and that you're caught up in. Again, observe. Well, God, I think, wants me to give this up. Reflect on it. Discuss it with someone. And often the discussion part of that and things like addiction and things like struggling with stuff, often that breaks a lot of the power of it because you've not given it the power of shame that it can have within your life. But whenever you break out of that and you have a chat to somebody about it, sometimes that can really be beneficial. And then we come around, we plan, right? What are we going to do to avoid some of this stuff? How are you going to resist the temptation and how are you going to move forward on that? You make yourself accountable to someone, and this accountability isn't some sort of, well, if you fail, I'm going to beat you in the head. It's, I'm going to have grace, but we're going to pray and we're going to believe that you're going to step up and be on for more, and then we're going to act. Does that make sense? Okay. So I know, like, it's not rocket science, but it can be so helpful. It can be so helpful. Again, let me give you one final one. Maybe God, you feel, is challenging you about how you interact with people at work because you felt yourself just getting a bit narky and you felt yourself and you're a wee bit worried about your testimony and your witness. And so if you feel like God is saying that, well, you reflect on it, you get to that answer, well, I feel like God's just challenging me about sort of who I am and work and how I interact. You could maybe have a discussion with somebody about that and just talk about, yeah, I've been struggling with this and et cetera and so forth. I'm going to plan. So how do I plan to be different in that regard? Well, some of the ways you might plan to be different would be to, believe it or not, get up a wee bit earlier, get some breakfast. Go in having spent time with God and ask God to help you to have a better frame of mind and a better disposition about you whenever you're walking in, that you're going to be intentionally encouraging, that you're going to be intentionally submissive to those in management over you if it's them that's annoying you, and you're going to do your best to make their job as easy as possible. Whatever it might be, but you're going to set a plan, you're going to talk to folks, account for it, and you're going to act and follow it through. Does that make sense? You know, so I know this isn't like apocalyptical stuff. Maybe you thought you were going to get that tonight, you know. Dreams and visions, that's in a few weeks. But this stuff's really, really helpful. And I have personally found this model. And models are there to be used or not used, okay? But I have found this very helpful to be able to go, God, what are you saying in this season? As I reflect about it, discuss with those who are closest to me, I plan a way forward, I count, and I act. So let me just ask you a couple of things then. We're going to close in a moment. But let me ask you, just even in your own mind, you might have paper in front of you that you're able to write on. I want you to think, because I don't want to just say all this and then go home. Observe, what is God saying to you in this Kairos season, this moment that you're in? I'd be confident God's speaking to each one of us in some way. So what is God saying to you at this moment in time? What's the theme that keeps coming up? And then just start to reflect on that. God, what might you be saying? Can I put that in one sentence? Not a really big long one with loads of commas, but can I just kind of summarize that? God, this is what you're saying to me. That's as far as we're going to go tonight. But I would encourage you, even round tea, you might just say, yeah, I think God might be saying this. Move on into discussion. I feel like God in this season might be saying this to me. I feel like God in this season. For some of you, it might be too personal to talk about, and you'll want to go into your own sphere of people that you know that you can be accountable with, and that's absolutely okay. But make sure we bring it right on round here. And what are we going to do about it? Because if we only learn to hear and we don't do, we'll never be the people that God wants us to be. We want to be the people who are blessed, because not only do we know it, but we do it and we act upon it. Can we pray together? Let's just stand. Lord, thank you that you do speak to us, and there's seasons where you're saying certain things to us and you're striving with us over trying to help us to understand or to move in or to understand and to walk in different things. And so, Lord, I pray for each person in this Kairos moment that they find themselves in. Lord, I pray that you would make it very clear what you're trying to say, that you would reveal your voice, you would reveal your heart, that you would reveal, and as we observe those things, that you would help us to reflect on them. Father, help each one of us to make sure we've got friends that we can discuss this stuff with. And that, Lord, that we wouldn't just keep it to, oh, I've heard, but that we would start to move and to act, that we would repent and believe. And so in our belief, that we would plan what we're going to do about it, that we would make ourselves accountable to, again, close, trusted people, and that we would have a community of people around us that are spurring us on to live for you. And that we would act, Lord, that we would put, Lord, boots on the stuff that you're saying to us, and that it would be lived out and walked out in our lives. So help us in this, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.